get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some makeup on it. While I stand up in the back.
Hello, everybody. Thanks again for listening for the fourth week in a row. All three of you. Grateful to have all three of you fans.
I thought it was 12 now.
12? Yeah, we checked the downloads. 12 people downloaded the podcast, so I'm kind of happy about that. I'm one of your hosts, Austin, a.k.a. Mr. Chupon on the site, and as always with me is...
It's Al, a.k.a. the Antipode. You know, the black one.
Yes, the black one with the dreads. Not the yellow man. If anybody's offended by this and turns this off right now, good riddance. Anyway, moving on. Okay, so we're going to start, as usual, with whatever the hell is in our consoles. And I will go to you first.
I just got finished playing a little bit of Mario, New Super Mario Brothers. But I haven't really gotten to play much this week because this was a very, very rough week. So all I've really touched was a little bit of New Super Mario Brothers, a little bit of Brain Age, a little bit of Partners in Time. And, of course, World of Warcraft and I.
Jesus Christ. You know, I stopped playing Brain Age for a while. I haven't played it in, like, 2 weeks.
I just did the voice calculation today. It was really fun.
Maybe I need to unlock that because it's a good product. I'm looking at all my other games, and I'm like, I'd rather be playing that.
Oh, yeah. See, what I dedicate myself to doing is just taking 15 minutes out of my day.
I still can't do that. I'm like, I'd rather be playing Mario Brothers for 15 minutes. So, like, it's like, no, goodbye. My brain is fine. I hit 20, and I'm like, okay.
Well, yeah, your brain is actually fine. You may not even need Brain Age as much as some other people.
Yeah, some editors and some magazines that I read are getting 76s. I hope they're joking. I really hope you're joking, because...
76 is their Brain Age?
Yes, because if they're editors at a magazine, meaning that they use their brain for journalism and writing and constructing sentences and all, and their brain age is 76.
Yeah, come
that's,
on.
That's a little scary. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'm like, I sit at work 5 days out of the week, sitting to people talking about their problems and trying to solve them, and all it is basically going down a flowchart in my brain. So I'm not really doing much with thinking.
And your brain age is already at 39,000.
Well, my brain age is at 24. But the thing is, the type of stuff I do doesn't really
require
much prefrontal lobe activity.
Ah, I see. You know what's interesting? I got my sister into the game when I first got it, and she was talking about how, you know, they say this is based on the studies of a doctor who say that exercising your brain is good and shit. She actually said there was another study that said that once your brain hits the age where it starts to deteriorate, which is around the mid-30s or 30 or something like that, that nothing can slow the rate of deterioration. Nothing. So it's kind of interesting to kind of pit that study together with, you know, the doctor from Brain Age. It's like, you're wrong, dude. But I think there might be... she did say that, like, up until that point, as long as you exercise your brain up until that point, you'll start at a higher level when you start to deteriorate. You know what I mean? And I don't know. To me, it feels something like... it'll deteriorate in terms of, like, yeah, it's aging, but it always helps to exercise something. I don't know how to verbalize this concept well, so I'm just going to leave it at that before I sound like an idiot and talk about what I've been playing, which is also New Super Mario Brothers. As I usually do, I'm going to praise and then I'm going to bitch and probably annoy a lot of people by this, but I've gotten over the whole I can't throw a shell upwards thing.
Good.
Although not really, in other senses. Like, I like it. It's a great, great 2D game, and it's about time someone took that 3D platforming scavenger hunt motif and put it to bed, because I hate that. Mario Sunshine started to annoy me. Jak and Daxter is one of the most overrated games I've played. I'd rather be playing Ratchet and Clank, which is much more fun. Because it's about action and not collecting.
It's about shooting stuff.
Yeah. Like Donkey Kong 64, Nightmare, Star Fox Adventures, Nightmare. So I'm glad to have a 2D platforming game. Now the problem is like we were talking about last week, I miss all the conventions that we have from the other Mario games. The other 2D games, that we get. So it's like taking a step forward and taking a step back, kind of. I missed the level of complexity in the level designs that were in Mario 3. Because if you look at it, a lot of it's very straightforward. Yes, there are multiple exits, like in Mario World, but when you compare it to the scope of... you got a booty call.
Keep going.
Okay. When you watch the level of complexity in levels like Mario 3, even, and I guess the easiest way to just verbalize this is the vertical scope of the level. New Super Mario Bros. Just kind of doesn't compare in that respect so far. And I also don't like that that by default you skip some levels. You skip World 3, is it?
4.
4? You skip World 4.
Four and 7.
You skip Worlds 4 and 7 by default. You don't have to find a warp pipe. And actually, to open up the other levels, you have to find a secret exit. And I'm like, no, I want to be able to play all the basic levels now and find secret exits, you know, as a replayability thing. I don't want the game to be half crippled. So in that sense, I'm like, I don't like that. Maybe it'll change as I beat the entire game, and maybe they will make me loop around back to World 2, which is kind of weird, or World 4, which is kind of weird, but so far I don't like that part of the game. And hello, cat. And I'll still be inclined, yeah. and I'm still gonna be inclined to call either Super Mario 3 or Super Mario World as undisputed in the Mario realm. Like, this doesn't come close to those two. And then I'm also playing Call of Duty 2 again on Windows, and I love it. And I'm not gonna talk too much about it because there's not much bad I can say, because that's all I do. I complain. But actually, no. Let me talk about it just a little bit. And you know, people are wondering, like, another World War II shooter. Why is it selling so well on Xbox 360? You know, blah blah.
Only one they have.
It's not that. And again, I'm not playing it on the 360. I'm playing it on the PC.
I'm just joking.
But that is a good argument that it's the only World War II shooter it has. But it's like, given, okay, so there's a difference between a good game selling and a good game just being a good game. Period. Sales wise, yes, people would probably admit that if there were three World War II shooters on there and other good games, like many other good games on there, it probably wouldn't have sold as well. But my argument is that it deserves the sales it got. Because of... I don't know, you play this game, it's one of the most intense shooters. And for once, you know, for me, who like hates it when graphic horrors say, like, oh, the graphics are so great, it makes it such a good experience. Like, I don't give a shit about that. In this, it really does have an impact, the graphics and the sound. Like, just having the bullets whiz by you as you're hiding behind this piece of wood that is like 2 inches thick, and like grenades and bullets and cats and dogs are coming at you.
Ooh,
and you're hiding behind this little piece of dust, and you're fighting for your life. And they also adopted this Halo system of health regeneration where you don't have a health meter, but you get hit a couple of times and your screen starts to flash red, and you gotta hide behind cover. And your health your injuries go away, and the screen becomes clear again. So, in the sense that I miss knowing that my health is at 2 and I need to get some health, otherwise I'm gonna die. I miss that challenge. I don't like being able to like recharge, like a superhero. But at the same time, the amount of hits it takes for you to get down to that critical level is quite few, and you find yourself, you know, in critical status quite often in that game, and it's just. Combined with everything else and all the bullets flying around you and, you know, your teammates dying or living, it's just a really good experience, and it's probably the only time where I'm actually looking forward to the third part without skepticism, because usually when people announce part 3, I'm like, oh boy, great, another shooter in World War II, blah blah blah, but I'm looking forward to the third one, and it's going to be on all consoles, and I don't know about PC, but it's going to be on all consoles, and you can bet the one that I get is going to be on the Revolution, because I don't like the dual analog setup. Bar none, worst setup for first-person shooters. I don't care what you say. That's me. And I'm done with that rant. Moving on, because I haven't been playing anything else. Let's get to the news. Let's start off with something simple. Hardware sales in Japan. I wish that these were accessible in the States, but... they don't really come out readily in the States. If anyone knows where to get United States sales, please do pass it on. But Japan, they come out every week, courtesy of MCreate, MediaCreate, and passed on by GamesAreFun.com. and the situation hasn't changed from weeks past. The DS Lite sits at the top. You'll remember that, when did it release in Japan?
A couple of months ago, actually, I think.
Like in May or March or something. March, right?
Think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it sold 1.6 million units to date. 160,000 units this for the week of May 15th to May 21 alone. And the PSP is in a pathetic second place with 24,500 units.
Wow, and the difference between 1 and 2 is just striking.
And bear in mind, I don't say pathetic because it's PSP. I say it's pathetic because the gap between second and first place is way huge. And also the fact that how many people don't own a DS already in some shape or form? Are these people just buying DS Lite because it's a Lite and they already have a regular DS? But anyway, it's just a staggering to see how many people are buying like a revamped system that's already been out there. And it, in fact, I'm looking at the numbers now, and quick math dictates that the DS Lite has outsold every other console in the top 10 combined. If you take a look at that. PSP, 24,500. PS2, 20,600. DS, 17,000. The regular DS, not the Lite. GBA SP, 6,000. GB Micro, 2,000. The Xbox 360, 1,400. The Cube, 1,000. The original Game Boy, 25 units. And coming in at number 10, the original Xbox at 20 units.
Wow.
So yeah, all that added up doesn't even come to a fraction of what the DS Lite is selling. What do you have to say about that? Because this to me is just mind-boggling.
I don't know. DS Lite, on the money.
It prints money.
No. It's on the money.
And it prints money. It does both. It's both.
I forgot. It prints money.
On the flip side, though, I have to wonder, again, like I said before, how many of these people are ones that already own a DS and just decided to buy another one?
Probably a lot. It's funny that the DS is still selling 16 grand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically just about... No, the original.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 10% of the population is like, oh, I don't want a DS Lite, I just want a DS.
Yeah. But it could be a money thing, too. The price difference.
Oh, maybe it's a price difference in Japan, because it's supposed to be coming out for the same price as the original DS.
Yeah, but you can bet that at some point the original DS is going to drop in price in here. Because, I mean, and they are trying to phase it out.
They
like,
are?
Totally phase it out, yeah. That's what I heard a long time ago when they came out with DS Lite. They're like, we're going to ramp down production of regular DSs, and eventually, hopefully, the shelf item will be the DS Lite. This is a case where it makes sense. Because
it does.
The DS Lite, it does not compromise anything about the original DS, except for the fact that the Game Boy Advance cart is going to have the game stick out. And that's it. Whereas you talk about the regular Game Boy Advance had a headphone jack, and the GBA SP didn't. And then the Game Boy Micro has a better screen, has an interchangeable faceplate, but you can't play regular Game Boy games. It's smaller, and it doesn't have that protective clamshell. So you got these different SKUs, not SKUs even, these different models that are out there that should be out there. Well, not the Game Boy Advance anymore, more the SP and the Micro, right? They should be out there. Whereas the DS and DS Lite, the original DS is ugly and clunky, and the buttons suck, and it's uncomfortable, and the screen's not as good as the DS Lite, and just everything about it is improved. There's no reason why they should keep the DS, and if they do, well, I guess it's for budget people? I don't know. I wouldn't keep it.
I don't know. I keep them all.
I'm saying from a retailer standpoint.
Oh,
not
oh,
from
no,
a manufacturer
no,
standpoint.
No.
Not from you and me. I always keep my stuff. That's a lie. Sometimes I steal stuff back, but I let go of my original Game Boy Advance, the clear one, on eBay. Yeah, good riddance. No, the battery case was broken. Software sales. Next up, it's a little bit more mixed. Let's see here. Number one, another Dot Hack game?
Yep.
Aren't those dead? Well, this is Japan.
No, this is Japan.
And then the next three spots are Brain Training 2, Tetris DS, and Brain Training. How many people don't have... Okay, both Brain Training 2 and Brain Training 1 have sold over 2 million copies in Japan.
It kind of makes you wonder how many people are in Japan, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the software is shoddy and people are buying multiple copies.
Oh, right. Of course. But it's just astounding that, you know, it's selling this much. Like, I don't even see Final Fantasy XII on this list anymore.
Oh, remember back when it first released, they predicted that it was going to be gone in like 2 weeks.
I guess. You mean the people on GamesAreFun.com?
Yeah, the people who comment on the blog.
Yeah, I guess, but it's Final Fantasy! And it's Japan! And it's a PS2!
Yeah, I don't get it.
Then again, you take a look at World Soccer winning 11, which always sells, and it's already at 650,000 after a month, yep. So that's pretty good.
True.
And then you got Animal Crossing, still at the top 10, number 6, at 2.7 million for a total 33,000 for last week.
Mm-hmm.
All these are outselling Mario Kart DS, which is at number 10, and it has sold 1.38 million to date, as opposed to freaking Brain Training. Wow.
And if you notice, number 8 is English Training. That's got to be a hot title among the Japanese people.
Yeah. English FTW. I never got what FTW means. I'm sorry, I'm not an internet whore like everybody who uses acronyms.
Oh, you mean like me? I could explain it
to you. Yes, like you. Quickly. WTF, popcorn, barbecue, shit, what? I don't know. explain for the world to FTW to me.
It basically means for the win.
Or for the win?
Yes, okay. For the win. And you can pretty much get it from there, you know?
I see.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing. WTF, Pwn, BBQ, you and your... Moving on. The next couple of topics are going to be Revolution-based. First one is Reginald Fils-Aimé is now Chief Officer of Operations and President of Nintendo of America now.
Congratulations
to him. I think I'm hoping that this means that Nintendo of America is going to have a lot more say-so in American operations, because if you'll remember from the very first podcast that we did, one of my complaints about Nintendo was the fact that it's so Japan controlled, that they didn't really understand the American market well enough to proliferate as well as they did in the past without resorting to those shitty tactics that they did in the NES days. You know, I mean, and again, I'm going to reference the PlanetGameCube.com article where they were talking about how little control NOA has. And I think Reggie has proven himself, you know, not only as someone who's a good marketer, but just someone who knows how to, you know, push forward a business and drive it. Because you realize a lot of this business is marketing in some respects. Because marketing is not just the advertising. It's not just getting up on stage and talking about products. It actually starts at the very beginning of the product line. Marketing goes all the way back to development, where they say, what can we develop to push this company forward? In terms of growth, I mean, it's kind of a chicken and the egg type of thing. Sometimes the marketing comes first, but sometimes the products come first, and then you decide how to market it. And I think for Nintendo especially, it's important that they understand that right now you got to start pushing the marketing at the very beginning. What products can we push out? And that's what they've done with the Revolution. That's what they did with the DS. Now they have to be careful about. Certain things about their machines, like I'm just about to talk to right now, I'm going out of order here, but Dolby Digital not being on the Revolution, kind of the same aspect as not being HD, something that I was really upset about at first, I still kind of am thing. Even though I understand what their motive is, what their intent is, it can hurt. Well, why don't you talk about the Dolby Digital? Is it a rumor or is it a fact?
It seems to be a fact, but it's only kind of like halfway there.
Uh-huh.
It's based on dev kits and dev information. It's saying that basically the ports on the Wii are going to be similar to the ports on Cube, where you got just that one combo port that will support composite component, S-Video.
Yeah.
And the developers are talking about that, you know, they have ProLogic 2.
Right.
But they don't have digital specs, so they can't program the sound for Dolby Digital.
Right.
And just in my opinion, I mean, Dolby Digital is great and all, but ProLogic 2 is an excellent alternative to Dolby Digital.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm still glad they're supporting that. And I just did see a screenshot of the back of the Revolution, and they don't have an optical out for audio. I don't have a problem with it per se. I more have a problem on the perception level. And this is the same thing about the Revolution graphics and HD. It's all about the perception. And I think it'll be fine because the DS has shown that you don't need super powerful hardware to really push a product. But it's coming so close to alienating those who are intense fans of video games. You know, the so-called hardcore gamers. It really is starting to alienate them. Everywhere I'm reading and online and on publications and whatever, the first thing is like, but it's not really next gen. But it's not really next gen. Do I have to pay $250 for something that's not really next gen? Blah, 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 blah. And there was even this one blog on 1UP.com that said, oh, it's a peripheral, which I disagree with. I mean, he has good points, but it's more trolling than, you know, actual intelligence. But
he said the Wii is considered a peripheral?
No, he's saying it should be a peripheral because it has no place being a regular console. And a lot of what he's basing it on is on the fact that, you know, yeah, the graphics aren't that good. Yeah, there's no HD. There's no Dolby Digital. And I can understand that, but from a gameplay perspective, yes, you could have tacked on a remote, and you could have tacked on a nunchuck. And in fact, they started out trying to find a peripheral that would quote-unquote prolong the life of the GameCube, and that was the remote. But they decided to move it to a new console. And you know what? Gameplay aside, and I'll concede that to him, in terms of just overall, you know, business sense and production and knowing your market, he's way off here. How can you expect someone to, like, they're going to look at the GameCube and they're going to say, this is an old piece of hardware that I'm just going to buy this peripheral for, that, you know, what am I going to do with it? They kind of see it like a dance mat or a set of bongos. Or how many games do you have for your bongo? You know what I mean? It's a great peripheral, but how many games are three as opposed to, you know, a whole library, right?
Right.
So, and at this point, who is going to buy an old GameCube because it came out with a remote? You think about iPods, okay? iPods are iPods, and almost every iteration until they came out with the iPod Video have been incremental updates, right? A little bit more hard drive space. Screens now smaller size. Screens now in color. And I'm actually talking about this, the base iPods, not the Nano or the Micro.
Oh,
I'm talking about one.
But they're still the same thing, right? Oh, you mean like the base iPod as opposed to just shrinking it down?
Yes.
But the same one before they turn it into video.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Incremental updates. Good updates. Very good updates, but incremental, right? But the perception is that, okay, this is a new product. This is the updated one. I'm going to buy this one. And I'm going to. And why would you buy the old one? It's the same perception. It's the same concept as, oh, we're coming out with a peripheral for the GameCube. But isn't GameCube like 6 years old? Yeah, but it's gonna completely revolutionize gameplay, but it's the same box.
Right, and people are going to be turned off by the fact that they don't have a nice, pretty new piece of hardware that can do different things than what their cube does already.
And you know what? I wouldn't blame them, because as much as I like to hit graphics whores and audio whores and say they're stupid, there comes a point where, in order to advance, games do need the hardware, all right? And if you're GameCube's a great piece of efficient hardware, but at some point something's got to give, right? Like, some game designs need powerful hardware. And that doesn't mean, and that's not to say that, like, oh, the designer's doing the job wrong. No, you take something like what Will Wright does in general, the way that his games always span across multiple era or whatever. I don't really play too many of his games, but things like Spore, for example, right? All right, and you take The Sims from its original incarnation, move it to The Sims 2, and then who knows what the next iteration of The Sims, how much of life it's going to incorporate. You can't do that on a Windows 98 PC with a 2D graphics card and, you know, whatever, right? You need that kind of hardware in order to push some certain types of game design. You couldn't have physics without big hardware. And so at some point, like, it's not just about the goddamn remote. It's about, like, saying, okay, well, we need to beef it up somehow. In order, not only in order to sell, but in order to get some different game design concepts in there. So, no, it's not a peripheral for that reason. And it shouldn't be a peripheral for that reason. if all you're basing it on is I get to play WarioWare, which kicks ass with the remote in a totally new way, but I could have done this on my GameCube. Yes, that's one title. If you're talking about pushing forward gaming, you always need that little incremental hardware, at the very least. I'm just not a believer in paying $600 for something that is really it's overkill to me at this point. I'm fine with just the 360 at $400, but that's getting off topic, and I will stop now.
Okay.
Next news topic, the price ceiling being at $250, among other things. I'll let you take this one.
Okay. Basically, Nintendo has announced that their new console, the Wii, was going to be no more than 25,000 yen in Japan. And that actually kind of equates to about $221, but then Nintendo of America submitted a statement saying that it's not going to be an exact conversion, it's going to be no less than $250. And it's going to be released in Europe for a similar price. Some people are talking about £199 in the UK. I think that $250 or $249.99 would be fine. It would be great if it was $199 and say they just surprised everybody in the world with that.
Right.
That would be an awesome press conference. Or just press news.
Release.
Just boom. Yeah, we're going for $199. And then that would just make people go crazy.
Right. You know, I had a dream a couple of nights ago when this news came out that the Revolution was coming out for $98.67. Exactly 98.67, and I'm like, what the fuck is that 67 cents? But yeah, I had a dream of that, and I'm like, that's insane. How could they do that? But anyway,
that's funny.
What?
I said that's funny.
Yeah. But I would personally, and I'm gonna be nitpicky here. I'd rather have it at $199 as well, and I contend that $250 is reasonable. But I've always felt that if I can't walk out of a store after having paid $300 plus tax with a game to play and sit down, like a retail full game to sit down and play, then it's not worth it. So if you say that the Revolution is going to be $250, and a game, let's say, is $50, right? You know, and after that's over $300 after tax, and I'm kind of stingy with my wallet, so I'm going to be like, I'll still buy one, but I'll be mad.
Yeah. But, I mean, would you buy a Wii and Zelda and be satisfied?
For $300.
Well, for $300.
Well, I mean, I'd be satisfied with the experience, but I'd still be mad that I had to drop over $300. It's basically a price ceiling thing that I have. It's a little...
Right.
Maybe it's a stupid quirk of mine, but it's just a price ceiling that I have. It's like, once it hits that magic number, it's like... Like with
it just feels like it's too much.
Yeah, like with the PSP when I got it, and my intention was to get it and make a little profit off of it, so that's not really the case. But I got it at $250, and I decided to keep one. And Lumines was, I believe, $40 at the time. And
wow.
So and I got a Target discount because I signed up for a card, which was 20% off or 10% off or something like that, and it just came under $300, and I was like, you know what? It's not bad. You know, I came in under $300 and I felt kind of good about it. And then I realized that we're talking about a portable system that was in no way as powerful as an Xbox. And then I got upset. But for like 5 minutes, I was happy about it. But, you seem to have fallen off the earth.
Who, me?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because it sounds like there's an echo. Okay, I think you were just moving something.
Okay, possible.
Because you didn't respond, but there was, like, this noise in the background, so I thought, I was like, Al, where'd you go? There's someone taking you. Podcast over.
I'm here. I'm okay.
Moving on. The Opera browser being on Revolution. I got some cynical commentary on this, but I'll let you take it first.
In a nutshell, Opera is going to be the web browser for Revolution. Or should I say, we. I don't know. I'm not really a big fan of Opera. But if... I mean, I know that it's okay as a browser.
Uh-huh.
But as long as it's not, you know, something that's going to be malleable. If it's going to just be the browser and it may have some updates here and there, but it's not going to be something that's too hard and fast on your system that changes what you, you know, that basically morphs based on what you download to it, then I guess it's an okay browser.
What do you mean by morphs?
I don't want my browser on my Wii to kind of be susceptible to any kind of, you know, internet-based annoyances.
I see what you mean.
I'm thinking that it wouldn't be because of the fact that it's a different technology.
Right.
And most of that type of technology is Windows-based. Although you do see, like, spyware and pop-ups on Macs, it's not that common.
Though I will say that if they police it like Microsoft polices Xbox Live, it shouldn't be a problem. The thing is, I don't know how they're going to do that because it's a free service. Now I know that their agreement and also the PlayStation 3's agreement as well is with GameSpy, and GameSpy might be policing that. So maybe that worry is, you know, unfounded. So, but I guess if they can add it in for minimal cost and not pass the cost down to consumers, I'm alright. My whole thing is I'm minimalist. I got my DVD player. You know, the only reason why I play my DVD on my PS2 is because I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I didn't buy the PS2 because it was a DVD player. I didn't buy the Xbox because it was a DVD player. And I probably won't buy the DVD attachment for the Revolution. You know? And I know people are like, well, you know, that's the whole point. You buy a PS2 and you have a DVD player there, so that's why you should use it. But I'm like, no, I'd rather have a dedicated DVD player in my home theater and use that, because I don't know, the PS2 DVD player, I haven't had any problems with it. I've heard it's of dubious quality, but as far as my limited usage, I haven't had problems with it. At the same time, and I guess with the PS2 it was fine because it launched at $300 and it had a DVD player in it, and it didn't really put any more strain on your wallet, right? It launched with kind of like a freebie, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know where I'm going with this. Blu-ray.
Oh, boy.
You take the Blu-ray out, PS3 comes out for $300 or $400, okay. I'll get my Metal Gear Solid 4 on, yeah.
But how? It'll be released for Blu-ray.
No, I'm saying that if they had developed it with a normal capacity drive in mind, or at least with a disk drive that didn't cost $1 zillion to make.
True.
You know? What I'm saying is Xbox 360 comes out with a regular disk drive. Comes out with
games. It does?
Yes.
So are they planning on doing something with HD DVD?
HD DVD is going to come as an additional attachment.
So you're going to have two drives on your Xbox.
You're going to have two drives. It's going to be an external attachment. It's going to look like shit in your home theater. But it's also not going to cost any more than a Blu-ray / PS3 game system combo. And when I say combo, I mean that it's fully integrated in there. So their whole strategy is to give the choice. And I agree with this one. I agree with giving me that damn choice if it's going to cost me more. If HD DVD and Blu-ray technology were at a point where the cost is marginal and you can include that in the system without having to, you know, bump it up, fine, put the Blu-ray in there. I'll buy it. But the fact is that it does add to the cost that much, you know? So I'm... and maybe, again, it's my whole little standard of price ceiling must be $300 and there's just an arbitrary thing for me, but that's the way it is and that's how I feel about it. And, you know, the same thing, if the Revolution launched being able to play HD DVDs, which was rumored very long ago, it was rumored that they might use HD DVDs, but it came out for like $350 or $400, I'd be a little upset.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I might be very upset. Oblivion fits on half a DVD. And Oblivion is freaking fantastic, so, you know, I don't foresee too much of a problem with storage space to come. And I know that we discussed this on a previous podcast before, and I was saying that it might be, but I'm still skeptical about that, so.
Yeah, that's all right.
So, moving off of the Revolution bandwagon, something that is near and dear to your heart, I'll let you take it from the beginning and ride it to the end.
Oh, man. So, seems like the title that I used to work on, that I used to love my job for, called The Red Star, is going to be
Communist Game soon.
Who made it?
I said Communist Game, Red Star.
Oh.
like our Chinese friends, Communist.
Exactly. Neo-communist, you could say.
Neo-communist.
But, yeah, it's going to come out soon for PS2. August, they say. By XS Games.
Does it involve Chinese communists? Chinese neo-communists?
Not.
Or just regular neo-communists?
Maybe just regular neo-communists.
I'm really against the Chinese right now because they mistreat Jack Bauer on 24, and he's the man, and they're not. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let's see. Yeah.
Jack Bauer FTW.
Come out PS2. What?
I said Jack Bauer FTW. See, I'm learning.
No, you can't just... You only use the acronym when you're typing in text. When you're talking to somebody, it's just for the win. Like that.
Fine. Here.
So you say Jack Bauer for the win.
There you go. Type in it.
Or you can type it.
Thank you. Okay, I'll shut up.
Yeah,
the spotlight's yours. Go ahead. Red Star, talk about it.
So, XS Games is bringing out the PS2 version, but they haven't said anything about Xbox. PS2 version is excellent. If you are a shooter fan, if you like Neo-Contra, if you're a shooter fan, if you like Neo-Contra, if you like Contra, you should go for
If I like Contra, but not Neo-Contra.
Even if you like Contra, but not Neo
Contra. Okay, good, because I didn't really like Neo Contra too much.
I mean, you just have to kind of like a shooter that takes the 2D platform, sort of, and kind of switches it to the 3D, move all around, shoot people in 360 degrees type of thing.
So it's kind of like Cannon Spike.
Yeah, kind of like Cannon Spike.
Tasty.
And it's got lots of... hopefully, if they kept all the features, it's got a nice little endurance mode in it that we fought so hard to keep in. Because it was... Like, you know, once you finish the game, you finish the game. But then you have these things where you can unlock stuff. And you just fight wave after wave after wave of enemy. And you have to figure out how to get from that starting point with your 100 health or whatever to all the way finishing all the waves without dying. It was really, really fun. They're also bringing out Raiden 3, which I will probably get, and they say they're going to send it out as budget, so that's definitely mine.
Raiden 3 as budget, or both Red Star and Raiden 3 as budget?
Right, they said Red Star is going to be between budget and full price, so it'll probably be $39.99.
That's fair for me.
I like worth it. It's 100% worth $39.99. And other than Red Star, next big piece of news... this big rumor that's going around about PlayStation 3 and used games. Rumor went around earlier this week that Sony's trying to stop used game sales by encrypting PS3 titles so that they only work on the PS3 you bought it for.
You know, it's like they resurrected this fucking piece of news, because I remember reading about this last year and they kind of debunked it, and then they're bringing it back again.
Hmm.
And I'm like, why? But yeah, go on.
Wait, was this brought up about the PS3 too?
Like,
was this brought up about the PS3?
Yeah.
Hmm. See, is there more about the story?
They're just you said they were trying to encrypt the game so that they would be married to one system.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because they're going crazy about used game sales, about the fact that they don't make any money off of that, and you know, PS2 games oftentimes are bought, played through, sold back to the retailer in like a week, and then you see just a buttload of used PS2 games that are selling for $10 less than the new game, and people are like, oh, I'll go and save $10, and Sony sees not one cent of that.
Well, I guess by the time that I actually buy a car, it's going to be married to my thumbprint, so if I try to sell the car, it won't. Okay, I see how Sony's But before we get all cynical, that has been debunked. Let's go to the Kotaku source for this debunked rumor here. Sony UK's PR manager Jenny Kong spoke out against the recent rumor that the media monster is planning to restrict sales of used copies of PS3 games. I would like to clarify that this is false speculation, that the PlayStation 3 software will not be copy protected to a single machine, but be playable on any PlayStation 3 console. Kong then threw a barrel at the nearest journalist and grunted, ha ha ha, ha ha. Thank you for that bit of humor, Kotaku. I still love you. I still love you. You guys are great. But yeah, so all these things, it seems like every time someone rags on Sony for something about the PS3, they always debunk it, and I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable about this thing now.
Yeah, let's just hope that it stays debunked, because I don't know if you know about the Rootkit scandal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know about that shit.
That's the reason why everybody's all like, oh, they're going to do that.
Yeah, I can understand
that. That's why
that,
probably that they were so quick to debunk it, because Rootkit wasn't pretty.
Right, right. Because, I mean, along with that, you got that whole stuff about, and this is our next little news piece, is about the whole, oh yeah, the ass pack is going to have no HDMI and blah, 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 blah. There was something that we didn't address with that, the more technical matters about that that I hadn't realized. And without the HDMI port, which is a digital port for video, there's something called the image constraint token.
Ah, yes,
right?
The ICT.
That is sent from the Blu-ray disc. So if you are using an analog input, like a component cable, as opposed to an HDMI cable, that token doesn't get sent. And supposedly it's part of a copy protection measure. So when you try to watch your Blu-ray disc, which is supposed to output at 1080p, it gets scaled down to half that, to 540p, which is still better than 480, but it's not quite 1080. It's not even 720. So what you're basically doing is buying a $500 PlayStation 3, hooking it up to your TV, expecting to be able to watch a DVD, a Blu-ray. What's one of the movies coming out for Blu-ray? I don't even know. But a Blu-ray movie.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. A Blu-ray movie on your TV, and you're like, it's going to be in high def, true high def, and it comes out, and it's only mildly sharper than a Dreamcast game on a monitor. And then you get disappointed. But this also has not really been debunked, per se, but in terms of the general consensus is that some of the movie studios are trying to delay the usage of the ICT, is what I'm hearing.
Right, they're trying to delay it till 2012.
Right.
So that you can still view, I don't think you'll be able to view in 1080p
right
for the $500 PS3, but it won't be downgraded to 540
right.
No matter what system you have.
Right. Now, see, that's the thing is that eventually they're going to put that ICT into use, and it will come into play, and you will have degraded stuff. So that's still a little bit of a problem on their part. But again, like you said last week, if you've got nine houses to throw at a 1080p TV, then you've got three dogs to throw at a PS3 with all the bells and whistles. So I guess it's a non-issue.
That's right.
Or is it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not. My whole thing is, if I spent all my money on a 1080p TV, I'd like to save as much as possible everywhere else.
Well, if I had enough money to buy a 1080p TV, I'd be balling, and I'd be just buying stuff, because my money wouldn't go anywhere. I mean, I would just continue to make supreme amounts of money if I could afford a $5,000 TV.
I am happy with my little monitor, but let's move on. Half-Life Episode 1 goes gold, 2 has been dated, and 3 has been announced.
Are these like prequels to Half-Life 2?
Let's see. I haven't been following this too much, but it's of particular interest to me because A, I like Half-Life 2, and B, I mean, this is really pushing forward the whole downloadable content, not just like updates and mods, but full games. This, along with Sin episodes, and Xbox Live Arcade, is really pushing all this downloadable stuff into the forefront. And there was this whole discussion on another podcast I was listening to about, just, you know, what is the future of gaming? Are we going to walk into a house devoid of all discs? You know what I mean? And that's a very foreseeable future if this, you know, stuff. But anyway, let's before we get into that, let's just read about this. Okay. GameSpot says, a year and a half after Half-Life 2 first hit PCs, the highly acclaimed PC shooter is on the verge of getting its first expansion. Today, Valve Software announced that Half-Life 2 Episode 1 has gone gold and is on track to ship next Thursday. Will cost $20 and will be sold both online via Steam and in a boxed form, which EA will distribute. It doesn't say anything about whether or not it is a prequel in this news article.
No, it doesn't seem. It seems like it's an expansion, probably building up on the story of Half-Life 2.
Yeah, it says in the summary, the expansion takes the story even further outside of City 17, so it's going to build on top. It's not a prequel. But, what do you think about all this, you know, downloadable content stuff that's going to totally get rid of the fact that we need discs? In 10 years, when Krang and Kodos rule the world. I, for one, welcome our new alien overlords.
I will welcome it as long as the original product is good enough. If they don't sacrifice the original product and they give us expansions that we can just kind of pay for and download, and it helps increase the life of the game, I'm down for that. Yeah, but if you're gonna give me a broken game and make me pay for the fixed version,
right?
Wait, that sounds familiar.
And that's been one of the gripes about PC gaming, and one of the first little trolls about the Xbox Live service when it first came out like years ago. Is that, now developers are going to ship half-assed games for Xbox.
Yes, now I know why I sounded familiar. Quake 2. Except you didn't have to pay for that.
Quake 2?
Yes, when you bought Quake 2, it wasn't really the complete game.
Oh, and then that's later right! On,
they came out with the patch that was everything, the multiplayer and all that,
that
good stuff.
I remember that. Oh,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that proved them wrong in that, like, the Xbox games generally came out fine. Unless you're talking about Gladiator or Vex. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a swipe at your old job. I'm sorry.
I don't care.
But yeah, I haven't really seen that happen. It still happens with PC games. My bigger concern, and it's funny that this is a bigger concern of mine because it's not really necessarily a big concern in the grand scheme of things, is that eventually, like I said, we're going to walk into a house without boxes. And I like boxes.
Boxes are good.
I like my boxes. I mean, okay, there is a certain space-saving thing about me. You know, I once toyed with the idea of getting the top-loading NES and then taking out the little circuit boards from NES cartridges and just storing them in static bags because I could save space.
I remember that.
And that was really stupid because I was really an idiot for thinking that because those things would probably break as soon as I dropped them. But at the same time, it's like, When I have my music now, all on my iPod, it's great, right? I could take it anywhere. But I like walking into my room and looking at my shelf and seeing all my CDs, you know? Seeing, like, the entire collection of, you know, of Nas CDs that I have, or, like, every Outkast CD that I have sitting there. And the same way, I'm looking at my shelf now, and I see Onimusha, Onimusha 2, Onimusha 3. Well, actually, I don't see Onimusha because GameStop sent me a used copy in a fucking sleeve, which I hate.
Blows.
Yeah, I want a guaranteed box, but like you know, you see the series there. If you get all the Final Fantasy games in order, or if you actually look at Japan boxes, I think a lot of them look the same from the side. It's a white stripe followed by the black PlayStation logo on top, and it all looks just so pristine, sitting there on your shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And it's like, yes, it saves space, but I like having it in my hand. And that was one of my big problems about the Phantom console, which died, of course. And Tim Robbins, which is the CEO of the company, of Infineon Labs, actually got in trouble with the freaking SEC, which is funny because I knew that would happen. But the Phantom console was like all downloadable, no disk drive. You know, what the hell is that? And I guess I'm just not ready for that, or maybe I'm just old. But I'm going to stop. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop ragging on this and let's move on. You have a piece of interesting news yourself. What is it, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Is it about your hair?
An awesome segue. No, it's not about my hair. But it is about the Phantom. Infineon Labs, the provender of the non-existent Phantom console, is now going to change their name to Phantom Entertainment.
So entertainment that we don't get, period. Because it's not there.
Exactly. Where's the entertainment? Well, look at the Phantom.
Oh, my God. That's
it looks like they're changing their company name to probably skirt some kind of financial stuff that, you know, they're being sued about already.
Whoa. I got to read this.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Kevin Backus is suing the company.
But I got to read this story out loud. Infineon Labs has endured no small amount of criticism for its choice of quote-unquote Phantom as the name of its yet-to-materialize gaming console. Originally announced in 2002, the Phantom has been subject to endless delays, false starts, numerous changes to Infineon Labs' executive roster, and even a scandal or two.
Wait. Before you continue, they were at E3 in 2004.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
But now the company has told investors that it plans to change its name to Phantom Entertainment Incorporated. Infineon has called a special stockholders meeting for July 13th in Tampa, Florida, where the company hopes they will vote in favor of the name change. In the SEC filing detailing the meeting, the company gave the following reason for the switch. The board of directors believes that the name change would be in the best interest of the company because the name better reflects the long-term growth strategy of the company. Phantom Entertainment stresses the long-term growth strategy of a company. So your growth strategy is to go nowhere and disappear? I don't understand this.
Most likely, or to die and become a phantom.
Or that. Wow.
The long-term growth strategy. That's nice.
This is awesome. That's a soundbite for the ages. But you do know that, okay, I'm going to click on this scandal link and talk about what I just briefly touched on. Ex-Infinium boss charged with stock scam. SEC accuses Timothy Roberts of misleading investors by implying Phantom Console was ready for launch, walking away with $422,000 from stock sales.
Now, I bet she's got a 1080p TV.
what, in jail as he's being ass-raped by Tiny?
Damn right. At least he gets to do it in stock.
But I don't know who's familiar with this story, but Hard OCP, which you can find at hardocp.com, did an investigation into the Infinium Labs story, and this was like 2 or 3 years ago. They found like no substantial evidence that anything was being worked on. When they got Tim Roberts on the phone, he cussed him out and told him to like never call again, or he'd get a restraining order. They called like the office building which Infinium Labs was registered at, and they were like, nobody works here. And it was all crazy. And then they got Kevin Bachus from the Xbox team, and things started looking legit, and like you said, they came out of E3. And now they're supposed to release the Lat board, which is like a keyboard mouse combo. And they haven't even released that. So I guess Phantom Entertainment really does speak to their long term strategy. I guess. So good for them, I guess. I don't know. Good for them.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The only thing that's left to do is to put them in court and to send them to jail just like the people from Enron.
This makes me wonder whatever happened to the Apex Stream. The Apex Extreme.
They might actually be still working.
The Extreme Ape. I posted a story on both the Extreme Ape and the Phantom. I think in 2004 when our site still looked like a blog. And
it was just after
it was E3. Just after E3, and they were talking about like a release date. I even sent an email to Tycho of Penny Arcade, and he was just like, dude, man, I'm with you. I don't know who these things are for, because these things aren't coming out. But oh my god, as soon as you start to forget about a company, they come back but with a scandal. It's kind of like Gizmondo. Where Gizmondo's corporate head is like a Swedish or Swiss or something crime boss.
Nice. Or something,
and he crashed his car. He crashed his Ferrari Enzo, the Enzo that he inevitably got from like investors.
That's karma kicking you in the ass.
But just to bring out old skeletons from old closets before we move on to our last two topics, I'm bringing up this article that I wrote about the Extreme Ape and the Phantom. Let's see. A Very Extreme Ape. Remember Gamerfeed? They're still around. Mm-hmm. This is their...
Yeah, they have bad ads that don't go away.
Here's a quote. At the heart of the system will be... This is the Ape Extreme. Apex Extreme. At the heart of the system will be AMD's Athlon XP 2000 Plus processor chip.
I have one of those.
Video will be supplied by NVIDIA's GeForce 2 IGP graphics processor, all of which will be integrated on a motherboard and produced by BioStar. The Apex Extreme will also utilize NVIDIA's GeForce 4 MX graphics card to supply smooth, crisp graphics. Additionally, the company has added personal video recording functionality to the device since it was originally unveiled at the CES, Consumer Electronics Show. Bear in mind, before people start laughing about the graphics parts and the chip, that this was written and this was slated to come out in 2004. So, now here's why...
Back when GeForce 4 was
right,
good.
Exactly. But it's not a GeForce 4, it's a GeForce MX. Which is what I'm about to get to. Okay. This is how I started my rant. Here are my bullet points. You aren't defining shit. Oh, wait. Read further into the article and you'll see the rabid statement. By creating the first game console that will play PC games and combining it with a full-featured DVD player and PVR, Apex is defining a new product category. And just like with all of our other products, we want to provide the best technology at a price that makes sense. And here's how I started. Bullet point. You ain't defining shit. Next little point. Guy, it's only going to play PC games that already exist for current PCs. What the hell makes it a game console in the traditional sense? Next bullet point. It's nice to know that a gamer can get this fine high-end piece of machinery to find out that he won't be able to play Half-Life 2. Which is wrong, because you are able to play Half-Life 2 on crap graphics cards, but you have to disable all the pretty bells and whistles. It's also nice to know that he'll spend $500 to play Splinter Cell with all the special effects turned off on a half-assed frame rate, instead of going the quote-unquote wrong route and buying it for an Xbox, which cost $180 at that time, and getting better performance. GeForce 4 MX, sign me up. I've got three words for you: Media Center PC. Put me into a business and I can build a machine that's almost twice as powerful for the same amount of money. Buying in bulk works wonders, and probably get disc and win XP embedded licensing to boot. This thing, I really want to know what happened to it. If anybody can mail us and do some research and find out what happened to the Apex Extreme, I will give you a cookie. Mailbag.
A Yoshi cookie.
No, just a cookie. Mailbag at trygames.net. And I know we're not going to get any mail, but whatever. But back to our regular news. All right, the next topic we had was Xbox 360 game prices finally falling. And if you know me, I mean, I was actually willing to get an Xbox if it were to come out for $350 total. I'm sorry, Xbox 360, if it were to come out $350 total. And then I heard the games were going to be $60. So I said no. But now, and I'm not talking about Table Tennis here, which launched for $40, because that was originally slated to be a budget game anyways. Isn't it sad that $40 is budget nowadays? But but GameSpot says, Brendan Sinclair of GameSpot says, with $59.99 price tags being the standard for next-gen games and the cost of systems themselves going through the roof, penny-pinching gamers will no doubt be happy to see what goes up can still come down. Sorry. Table Tennis and Dynasty Warriors 5, come out for $40. All right, that's all well and good. Now, Electronic Arts, has reduced the prices of the Xbox 360 launch titles to $39.95. THQ's The Outfit is now being offered from the publisher's website for $40, and Ubisoft is selling King Kong for $40.
These are all really bad or outdated games.
Yeah, pretty much. King Kong isn't bad, it's just outdated. Outfit received lukewarm reception, and I don't want to talk about EA.
Yeah, because you know 07 is going to be coming out in like 3 months for every last one of these.
And that's
titles.
Why they're freaking pushing the price down. I don't know though. I mean, if you know me, I didn't buy an Xbox or a PS2 until last year. And a lot of the GameCube games that I had, that I have right now, I bought on the cheap because really, if I am stuck with few games, I'm fine. You know, I'll play those few games to death, and it's really when the older games start dropping in price that I start going on buying sprees. So for me to get an Xbox 360 now, and get, I don't know what game did I really want it for it. Project Gotham Racing, I saw in store for $50, which is a normal price. I mean, that's an Xbox first party title. So first party titles comes out for fifty bucks, and I'm willing to spend $50 on Project Gotham 3 and Cameo. But you know, I could be set with PGR for months and months, and Cameo for months and months, and then when games that are coming out today drop down to $40, that'll be fine for me. So sixty doesn't seem so bad as long as they've got something to pull me in at the regular price point. And it's good just to see that overall, yes, we are seeing price cuts. However, while games are falling in price, the console isn't. Why don't you take this one?
Yeah,
and put it as Nintendojo put it, because they did it really funny, even though I don't have the link.
Yeah, I can try my best, at least, to paraphrase what Nintendojo said. You know, basically, in response to the PlayStation 3 price announcement, Microsoft had answered everyone's questions about whether there was going to be a price drop or
price change. That's not how they put it. They put it like, it was funny the way they put it. They were like,
"Well, I know it's funny the way they put it, but I don't know the way."
Oh, I thought you did. I'm sorry. In response to the,
I mean, I can go and find it and find.
I tried to find it. I couldn't find it. They don't have it anywhere on their sidebar anywhere. But they said, in response to the PlayStation 3 pricing announcement at E3, Microsoft announced its plans for price drops. In response, and then you click on the link, and it's like zero, and that made me cry. Because I was going to get one if the price dropped. I was going to get one. And then they say zero.
And I wasn't going to get
one. I know you weren't, because you were mean. But zero isn't enough. Zero is one less than one.
Ah, there it is.
It is there.
Microsoft reveals Xbox 360 price cut plan.
Zero.
With the next generation competition coming at Xbox 360 in November, Microsoft has decided on the amount of their rumored price cut. Zero.
That's like a finger. Like a middle finger sticking up beyond the heavens, pointing at me.
Yeah, thanks Nintendo Joe. You guys definitely have wit.
I'm sad. In fact, I'm going to sue them now for getting my hopes up.
Good luck.
Shut up! I didn't ask you. But yeah, so that's and what's interesting, and I got to apologize for not posting this story when I went out and got the quotes. But when I was researching about the reaction to the Revolution's real name, which I will not announce, you can announce it as much as you want. Shut up. I spoke to people at GameStops and game stores, and I got them an audio. And one of the person's E3 predictions was that the 360 was going to get a $100 price drop. And I asked everyone, I asked the rest of his colleagues at the store, and he was like, absolutely, that makes perfect sense, they're going to do it. And that got me excited, and then now it's like...
I bet you there would have been one if PlayStation 3 came out for 4 and 5.
This is true. This is true. And it... At the same time, while it's disappointing that, you know, I can't get a cheaper console, it's good to see that, like, they can afford to hold the ground now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Hopefully, this doesn't affect the Revolution and have it actually come in at that ceiling of $250. Because the only way that I'm really going to be happy about buying a $250 console is if it comes with an extra controller or a game packet. Remember Packins? I remember when Packins came at launch instead of coming out later. Like, now they have an Xbox with Forza, and that's cool. But when it first came out, can you imagine if the Xbox came with Halo or the GameCube came with... Well, the launch kind of sucked, but I guess came with Rogue Squadron. Or the PS2 came...
Even so, or if it came with... Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, don't talk about Luigi's Mansion. Oh, jeez. But, yeah, maybe next time we should talk about launches. Because as shitty as they have been, it doesn't matter in the end. Whereas the Dreamcast had one of the most spectacular launches I've ever seen, and is dead.
Mm-hmm.
You're mourning, aren't you? You're giving it a moment of silence. I'll let you mourn it in peace. But, I think we've beaten this podcast into the ground. But everybody, if you have questions, if there's something that you'd like us to talk about that we didn't touch on, send it to mailbag@trygames.net. I'm not going to bother spelling it. Go play Brain Age and learn how to spell. Next week, I guess we'll talk product launches and why they don't matter. But until then, this has been your Try Games podcast, still as of yet unnamed. I've been Mr. Troupon, and he's been... Silent.
Antipode.
This has been your Try Games podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. We're out of here.
See you.
Go ahead, girl. Put some back and some neck up on it. While I stand up in the back.